listening to the Apollo Podcast Network. One.
I think full stop. But it's exciting, you know. And so I think you know every year is by it's you know every year is a different year. Every team is a different team. That just is. You know, there's oftentimes commonalities, and in this instance, there probably aren't very many or any. But you know, we're all lucky to be here, and it's a challenging job, but it's a really fun one. And so I think this group is going to really embrace it.
You're ready to launch yourself into the latest Rockets news. You are listening to the Launchpad Podcast presented by Apollo Media, all Houston, all original. I am your host, LaShard Binkley. I am a staff writer for the Dream Shake. And of course, you can always find me on Twitter at HTownForLife40, all caps. Be sure to follow the official Apollo Media account. That's Apollo, H-O-U, as well as hitting the subscribe button on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. We would greatly appreciate it. And also make sure to check out the Apollo HOU store, as they're actually coming out with some new Rockets merch today in honor of NBA Media Day. So definitely make sure you check that out and all the other great merch that Apollo Media is known for across the globe. So make sure you check that out. Of course, today we're going to be talking about the Rockets Media Day that happened today around midday. Pretty much all of the Rockets, mostly all the Rockets, were on the stage today answering questions, going through the normal Media Day routines. We have some very interesting quotes, some interesting sound bites, and we're going to do a quick podcast today and actually discuss some of those sound bites, and I'm going to give my opinion on them and kind of see how it will play out through the rest of this week as we go into training camp and then the preseason, which starts next week. And in that first clip, you actually heard the question was asked, what's the difference between this year and last year? And of course, Rafael Stone probably wanted to say, well, there's a certain number 13 that's not here anymore, but he kind of danced around that a little bit. But he mentioned how it's definitely a huge difference between this year and last year. Last year, you had the cloud of James Harden, whether he's going to stay or go, when he's going to be traded. That was hanging over Media Day. So that was dominating a lot of media attention last year. So it really wasn't a lot going on other than James Harden last year. This year, you can kind of tell it's a little bit different. It's a lot different. The mood is different. It seemed like there's more optimism going on because it's a fresh start for everybody. Coach Silas has the players here that he knows is going to be here, that's going to be on the roster, at least in the short term. So they're able to focus on training camp and focus on getting the players ready for the upcoming season. So you can kind of tell when Rafael Stone and Coach Silas were speaking that they had a lot of optimism in their voice and they were really ready to move forward and not necessarily talk about last year as much, especially, you know, the beginning of last year where everything was in flux from, like I said, Harden won now. Westbrook had just left a few weeks before that. And you had Daryl Morey stepping down. It was kind of a crazy situation last year before the season even started. So we have definitely a lot of differences between last year and this year. We're also going to talk about upcoming in the second segment. I'm going to talk about some of the Rockets player sound bites. I'll get my thoughts on that in the last segment. I'm actually going to talk about where Rafael Stone and John Wall actually came out together and discussed the current situation with him sitting out until they can find a better situation for him on another team, whether that's via buyout, which probably not going to happen this year, or trade, which is not looking likely this year, but that's kind of what they're working on right now. Some of the other things that Coach Silas and Rafael Stone were talking about in that first part of their part of the media session, they were also talking about how they were trying to build continuity. And Coach Silas also mentioned where he felt that he really didn't get his coaching voice till like the end of last season because it was just so much change, so many different players coming in and out. So he really didn't know what exactly he had with the team. He couldn't really put in his system. You could kind of tell a lot of times during last season, it was kind of a mosh posh of basic offensive system where they was running really basic pick and rolls, running really a lot of sets in there because he didn't know what from one game to another who he was going to have. So that's why I kind of think he said that he really didn't have his coaching voice to the end of the year. And he said where he knew that players that wanted to be on the team and the young players that were starting to buy into his system. So I think that you'll see the Rockets kind of hit the ground running this year because he kind of knows, you know, what he needs to do. He knows the players he has here. He has young players that are enthusiastic, that are ready to go, that's ready to, you know, erase last year for the players that were here and people like Jalen Green and Josh Christopher and Aperin Şengün and Uzman Garuba and those players just trying to get their foot in the door in the NBA and show that they belong. So I think that you'll see a big difference in the way the Rockets approach this year, especially Coach Silas. And then they also asked, you know, what did what's some of the things that Rafael Stone saw in Coach Silas and where they kind of reconfirmed last year. And he did mention, he was saying he saw a big difference as far as or he saw exactly why he hired him. And it was because he's a very patient person. He's the type of coach that can coach any type of team. He can coach a team that's rebuilding. He can coach a team that's trying to contend. He can coach a team that's a championship contender. And he still believes that right now, you know, and he said that he saw in Coach Silas before he hired him is he saw exactly that last year and how that played out throughout the year, you know, with the difficult season that they were dealing with, that, you know, he never wavered. He was, you know, even keeled. And that's the type of coach that you need in those type of situations. So you can definitely tell that Coach Silas definitely has the most utmost respect for Coach Silas, and Rafael Stone also has a lot of confidence in Coach Silas. So he definitely sees that going into this year that they can, you know, they may not, we all know they're probably not going to compete for a championship, but they are looking for player development. They look for player growth. And they even mentioned, you know, that somebody asked them, how do you balance out winning and player development? And, you know, Rafael Stone made a good point. He said that you look at it this way. If your players are developing and your players are doing certain things that you see that they're growing as players on the court, that a winner will come as part of that. So they don't necessarily have to, you know, weigh one against the other, because if you do one thing, if you're coaching your players a certain way and they're developing faster and they show the improvements on the court and they show the improvements off the court, that winning will come with that. You don't have to have one or the other. You can have both. And usually the player development and you know, getting the right roster out there and getting the right plays called, all that will lead to wins. So you will kind of see the results through the hard work that they're putting in during training camp and in the preseason. And another question was asked of Rafael Stone is, or actually it was like a comment. Someone asked or saying that he looked a little bit different this year. Like he was smiling more this year. And Rafael Stone, you know, made the comment that I don't change. I'm usually the same. I don't usually get nervous or I don't get too down. So that's something you definitely want to hear of your GM, because you don't want a emotional GM, because you have an emotional GM that turns into a lot of trades, unnecessary trades, unnecessary roster movement. You want a GM that will look at the bigger picture, won't just flip out at this first sign of trouble like the Rockets had last year, and you just start trading away players, like, for instance, you know, start trading away players like Christian Wood, which would be a huge mistake, thinking that, well, I need to make a move now. He's more even keel. He's more of a type of GM that's going to look at all the scenarios before he just goes out and makes a rash decision, which can lead to even more trouble down the line, which some GMs in the past, won't name any names, first initial D, last initial M, may have done and pulled the trigger a little bit too quick. But Rafael Stone seems like he's a totally different type of GM that won't get in that situation. So that's going to wrap up this first segment. And second segment, I want to kind of give comments on some of the player sound bites. Players like Jayshon Tate and Christian Wood and Jalen Green, they all came up to the mic and did their portion of the media day. So we're going to talk about that in the second segment. So please stick around.
Looking for a better way to rep H-Town? Be sure to check out ApolloHOU.com for Astros and Rockets apparel you can't find anywhere else. Use promo code LAUNCH for 10% off at checkout. Apollo HOU, all Houston, all original.
What have you learned so far about your other two rookies, about Alpi and Usman?
I love everyone's game, all the rookies that's coming in right now. Usman, he's a shot blocker, he plays hard. He's going to give 110 every time he steps on the floor. LP, he's a super fundamental big. He can really pass, he can shoot, he gets to the rim. He just has a full package as a big man, I think.
How would you describe the energy on this team, some of your guys?
Static for sure. I mean, we got a whole bunch of energy. We got a whole bunch of different personalities, a lot of different swag. I feel like everyone's just a dog. So, I mean, that mentality is there. So, obviously, the energy is always going to come.
David, you're talking about a lot of different things with fashion and your 19 goals. Yeah. You listed. How do you prioritize all this stuff? How does this stuff fit in having fun on the court, off the court, and developing your game and helping this team grow and win games?
I think just keeping the main thing. The reason I'm here and the reason all this happened off the court, on the court, is because of basketball and how hard I work. So, I mean, that's just going to keep that the main thing, keep working hard, and hopefully get some wins this year. That's what the goal is. So.
Yeah. I've worked with Houston. We took, like, a month or two off just to do, you know, rehab just to make sure, you know, it should be better than it was last season. So we've been doing that, and you know, it's been successful. Same goal. Doesn't change. Mindset doesn't change. Even more motivated now than before. I'm ready to get the season started.
This organization, you know, saved my life potentially. So definitely a big fresh air. And I just love being here, and I want to be here for a while. So.
And welcome back to the Launchpad Podcast, presented by Apollo Media. So in those sound bites you heard from, of course, Christian Wood, you heard from Eric Gordon, you heard from Kevin Porter Jr., and, of course, the number two overall pick, Jalen Green. What I got from pretty much all of those clips, especially the ones from Kevin Porter Jr., is just how excited they are coming into this year, that he, you know, mentioned that he hadn't really had an offseason to really work out. This is really his first one because he was a rookie a couple of years ago. So he was trying to get used to that. And then last year, of course, you had the issues with COVID and, you know, not being able to train as much as he probably would have liked to. And then he had also some of the other issues with the organization. So it was just a lot going on with that. So this is really his first full offseason where he could really have worked on his game, and then he can actually come to training camp ready to go. And I mean, I think it's pretty powerful to say that the organization saved his life because, again, you know, he had some stuff going on off the court, and, you know, the Rockets took a chance on him, brought him in. And he said that, you know, he loves being in Houston. He loves being with the organization. You could tell he's really ready to go and really ready to play this upcoming season. Then, of course, like I said, you heard from Jalen Green. In that soundbite, he was talking about some of the aspects of the other rookies, some of the, how he liked the aspects of their games, from Uzma Garuba to Alperen Şengün. You know, Şengün being a multi-talented center that can do a lot of different things. Garuba being a high motor, great defensive player, can get up and down the court, block shots. And also someone that mentioned about his, some, you know, he's really into fashion, of course. And, you know, some of the stuff he posts, off the court as far as, you know, what he's wearing and different things like that. And he was saying that, yeah, that's part of it. But what I really found important, what he said that the most important thing is winning games. And the only reason he has a chance to do any of this other stuff is because of what he's doing on the court. And that's the main thing. And that's what he's going to be working on. So, you know, that's definitely a great thing you want to hear from your number two overall pick going into their first season. And also you heard from Eric Gordon, who, you know, a lot of people thought possibly by the draft time or even before that, that he could have been traded, and he's still on the roster. And he actually, another thing they mentioned, Coach Solich and Rafael Stone mentioned earlier, is that it's a good chance he's going to be closing some games while he's still on the roster. And he was just, someone asked him about Coach Salas, and he just said that, you know, he liked what Coach Salas does, and he likes that he's the right person for the job. And, you know, you kind of got that feeling from pretty much every single player that's spoken, how much they respect Coach Salas and that they shouldn't have any problems following his lead. And that's a great thing you need, especially with a really young team. Some of the other things he mentioned that wasn't in the soundbite, he mentioned that this is the youngest team that he's ever played for or played with. So he's going to have to be the person that, you know, speaks up not only in the huddle, but, you know, when they're training, practices, you know, weights, whatever it is, he's going to be the vocal leader because, you know, with John Wall basically not playing, even though he will be with the team, and this is something more we're going to talk about later on in the third segment, but he's going to be one of the people that's going to step up specifically on the court with John Wall not playing this year for the Rockets. So it's very important, even though he may not be on the team all year, his presence and just being able to show the younger guys how to be a professional, how to, you know, come to every game prepared, how to watch tape, how to be in the right spot when you're shooting threes. It was a great article recently that came out. I think if I'm not mistaken, it was in 538. I'm sorry. I can't remember the person actually wrote it, but they wrote a great article about how Eric Gordon is breaking down not only how important it is. It's not just important to shoot a great percentage, but it's important that where you're on the court kind of determines how much space your other players are going to have on the court with you. So it's not always just necessarily about shooting a high, great percentage. Sometimes it's just about being in the right spot. Even if you miss, you're still spreading the court and you're setting up plays later on in the game. It was a really good article. I definitely suggest anybody go check that out. But Eric Gordon is definitely going to be one of the vocal leaders on the court and off the court this upcoming season. And then you also heard from Christian Wood. I think the first question was asking him about his ankle. And he said that he's 100%, that he took a couple of months off just to do rehab, that he said he's ready to go. And then also asked him, of course, you know, he would have, someone mentioned he would have made the All-Star game if he wouldn't have got hurt last year with that severe ankle sprain, if I'm not mistaken, against Memphis. And that's definitely correct, because at the time, he was one of the names being mentioned as one of, could be one of the reserves going in the All-Star game. He was having a great year up until that point. And he said, of course, his mission, his goal is, you know, to be an All-Star. But at the end of the day, it's about winning games. And that's something that's very important. I think Rockets fans need to take in consideration when they say they would rather see the Rockets tank. When you start tanking and you're tanking for multiple seasons, the players on your team don't want to continue to lose. So I know you have a lot of young players on a contract and you have rookies, and that may not be as big a deal as far as them going to another team, but you have to factor in other players that may think about coming to play for the Rockets in free agency 2 or 3 years down the road. They're not going to want to come play for a team that's only winning 18, 19 games a year. Even if you have 5 straight number one picks, that doesn't always mean that you're going to be a good team in the future. So that's just something to keep in mind, that one thing I pretty much heard every single player say is about winning. Coach Silas said that, Rafael Stone said that, Christian Wood, Jalen Green, it's about winning. Like I said, are they going to be a championship contender? Probably not. But can they compete for a 10th seed? I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. I mean, you don't have to be better than 4 other teams to get into that play-in game. And I think the experience of getting in the play-in game outweighs the possible benefit of having a high draft pick that, let's be honest, I don't even know if the Rockets even if things don't go perfect this year, I don't think the Rockets are even bad enough to be a bottom three team and have a chance at a top three pick. So you might as well go out there and try to win and win as many games as you can and get good experience for the young guys so they can kind of propel them into the next year, sort of like what Phoenix did, even though they had more veterans on their team. Booker's been in the league for a few years. They still went 8-0 in the bubble before Chris Paul even got there. And I have to believe that was a big benefit for them going into this year, even with bringing in Chris Paul and people like Jay Crowder. I think that helped out the young guys and helped out players, even like Devin Booker, become a better player. So I think you need to win when you can. And if you're good enough to win, go out there and win. You don't want to try to go backwards and have another 18, 19 win season, and then you're starting all over again next year. So that's just one of the common themes that I heard from pretty much all the players in today's press conference. Our media day was they're looking to win this year. I mean, Jalen Green even mentioned like they feel they can play with any team in the league. They're young, they're fast, and get up and down the court. So that's just something to keep in mind going into training camp and the preseason, the regular season, that this team is looking to win. They're not looking to have another high draft pick and maybe get a Banchero or Chet Holmgren or somebody like that. They're looking to win this year. So that's something definitely to keep in mind. And then a couple other players also spoke, you know, David Nwaba, Jayshon Tate. And then, you know, with Jayshon Tate, he was saying a couple of things he wants to work on in this upcoming year is finishing with his right hand around the basket, because a lot of time he just finished with his left hand on the different post moves or going to the basket. And of course, he said he wants to improve on his shooting, which started off really low to start the season and got a little bit better as the season went on. Kind of fell off a little bit at the end of the year. So that's something he said he wants to work on. I think if he can get to around 35, 36%, that's perfect for Jayshon Tate. And that'll keep teams from just falling off of him and you know, dropping off to him, trying to play his drive instead of focusing on him taking the three-point shot. So that's some of the things he said he wanted to work on and that he has worked on in the offseason. And Christian Wood also mentioned some things he wanted to work on that he did work on this offseason. He said he worked on, you know, making sure he could finish around the basket better, being a better help defender, because someone had asked him about whether what position he would like to play. And he said that it doesn't really matter. He's more of a positionless player, and he feels that he can be able to switch out and play the guards better than he did last year and, you know, play one through five. So that kind of lets you know that he's probably going to be more the perimeter player. And when Daniel Theis, of course, is in there, he's going to be the one protecting the paint, playing the bigger centers and power forwards in the league. So there was some very interesting comments from the Rockets during this media day and some things to definitely keep in mind as we go into training camp later this week. That's going to wrap it up for the second segment. In the final segment, we're going to actually talk about a little bit of surprise when the schedule came out. The very last two people to talk was actually Rafael Stone and John Wall, and it was some very interesting comments from John Wall, and we'll definitely check those out, so please stick around.
Looking for a better way to rep H-Town? Be sure to check out ApolloHOU.com for Astros and Rockets apparel you can't find anywhere else. Use promo code LAUNCH for 10% off at checkout. Apollo HOU, all Houston, all original.
And continue here on the Launchpad Podcast presented by Apollo Media. If you enjoy the show, do us a favor and drop a review or leave us some stars. All right. And in that clip, you actually heard John Wall speaking during media day. And the question was actually about why was he okay coming to the decision to sit out and not play and actually work with the Rockets on a trade or a buyout, so that would make room for the younger guys to actually be able to come in and play. And one thing I want to say before I get into that is you definitely have to give props to John Wall and just the Rockets and everybody in this situation, because the situation could have been a lot worse. And you heard in that clip where John Wall said that, well, the Rockets were, you know, being a very professional organization. He felt that it was best for both parties that they, you know, do this and work out a way to where he can go to a team where, you know, more of a contending team instead of a team like the Rockets, who are rebuilding and trying to get playing time for the younger players. And he also mentioned that he will still be a mentor. He will still be on the bench. And another thing that he mentioned that was, you know, pretty surprising, actually a really good thing, something that he really doesn't have to do, is he's actually going to travel with the team, and he's going to be part of, you know, every function as far as off the court training, maybe even some practices, trying to help the young guy like Jalen Green and, you know, Kevin Porter Jr. I mean, yeah, think about it. John Wall is a former All-Star, All-NBA player. At one time, he was top five point guard in the league. So, I mean, yes, it's not a, you know, a normal situation to where you see where he's going to be on the court helping the team out, but you got to factor in, he has a lot of knowledge, and he'll be able to help players like Kevin Porter Jr., who's trying to acclimate themselves to being the starting point guard after only really playing a handful of games in the NBA as a point guard and then a handful of games in the G League as a point guard. You can't have a better coach, a mentor than John Wall, you know, teaching you how to be a top-level point guard. So, like I said, you definitely got to give props to the Rockets and give props to John Wall and the way they've handled this whole situation. And another thing, like I said, John Wall mentioned that he will be traveling with the team, which is a really surprising thing. We've had other instances where players like Al Horford, he sat out pretty much the entire last half of last year when he got traded to Oklahoma City. And he, if I remember correctly, he wasn't on the bench. He wasn't at the games. So to have John Wall still traveling with the team, I think that's a really good thing, a really good thing for morale. And he'll, and another thing Coach Tyler used to always mention in his press conferences when talking about John Wall, he said that John Wall is like another coach on the floor, that he trusts John Wall completely. So having John Wall, you know, being able to see certain things that Coach Tyler may not be able to see because, like I said, John Wall has been there, done that, I think that's a great benefit for players like even Christian Wood, Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green, just being able to show them how to be a dominant NBA player, something that they don't have a lot of that experience on a team with them being like one of the youngest teams in the league. So that's definitely something that's going to be interesting to see. But like I said in other podcasts, I don't see a scenario where they're going to buy him out because John Wall would have to give up a lot of money. The Rockets would have to stretch out a lot of money over the next several years to be able to facilitate some type of buyout. I think that's something that may come more into play next year when he's on his last year of his deal. And a trade, who knows? My feeling is they won't be able to get a trade done. I mean, it's been a lot of talk about John Wall and Ben Simmons and, you know, maybe them switching teams, but then you factor in you probably have to ask somebody else on the 76ers side, and then the 76ers is going to want probably multiple draft picks on from the Rockets side, or maybe in a Jayshon Tate, and I don't know if that's something the Rockets are willing to do. So it's going to be a lot of back and forth, a lot of rumors are still going to come out, but I think to start the regular season, John Wall will still be on the roster. Even though he's not going to be playing, he will still be on the roster. Like I said, traveling with the team, helping the team out in practices and workouts and different things like that. So we probably should get used to seeing Coach John Wall here for right at least the first 2 or 3 months in the season. Like I said, the situation is a little bit different with Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon is actually going to be on the court actually playing, maybe even a sixth man. Another thing I found interesting before we wrap up this Media Day special edition of the Launchpad podcast was someone mentioned about, you know, how they felt about John Wall or, you know, how they felt about him going forward. And Rafael Stone adamantly said, look, John Wall is still a great player in this league. He can help any team. He can help our team. It's just that the situation is a little bit different for our team. And he was adamant about it. So you can tell that I don't think the Rockets really see him as some type of, you know, quote unquote, washed up player that can't play anymore. And that's the reason why they want to get rid of him. I just think it's a matter of the way it's worked out. The Rockets are a rebuilding team. They're not contending for a championship this year. And they're looking to give players like Kevin Porter Jr. playing time. And the only way that's going to happen is if John Wall, unfortunately, John Wall is not playing. Because if you look at it, the way that we're going to have to do it, they're going to have a three-guard lineup. But then Kevin Porter Jr. is going to have less touches, less chances to actually run the offense. He would probably have to run the offense with the second team, which is not ideal. So it was going to be a real shuffle job for Coach Shaw's. And I think that makes Coach Shaw's job a lot easier. So, like I say, you have to give credit to – it doesn't really matter who came in with it first, but they came to the decision to have John Wall sit out. You have to really give credit to both parties because it could have turned into a Ben Simmons situation where, yeah, Ben Simmons is not playing there either, but it's a totally different atmosphere surrounding Ben Simmons. John Wall – and the Rockets are on the same page. And if you don't think other players around the league are not going to notice that, they do. And the Rockets for a long time had a bad reputation for the way they treated players, that they just saw players as commodities. They traded them in and out. You didn't know who's going to be on the team from one day to the next. And it started to get around. And I think Daryl Morey and the Rockets really got a bad reputation because of that, and possibly lost out on some free agents because of that. So now more and more reports are coming out that, you know, people around the league have seen the Rockets in a totally different light ever since Rafael Stone took over for Daryl Morey. And that's going to help the Rockets down the road when they're trying to bring in these big name free agents, possibly in 2023. Article I wrote for the Dream Shake here recently talking about the possibilities of 2023. There's a lot of big names, not necessarily mean that are going to come to the Rockets. You know, you have the LeBron James and the James Harden and a Nikola Jokic. But probably more than likely, those players are going to be snapped up and re-signed with their team long before they are eligible to be free agents. But you never know. You never know what player is going to come available. So you want to have the best reputation. You want to be a organization that players want to come play for, not that they're worrying about getting traded the next year when things don't work out. So I think that's a good thing when you're talking about the Houston Rockets. So like I said, the main thing we got from that part of the media day is that the Rockets and John Wall on the same page. John Wall will be traveling with the team. He will be part of the actual team other than being on the court. He will practice with the team. He will try to help mentor the young guys. So, like I said, that's definitely going to be an interesting situation, something I haven't seen since I've been watching basketball, is having, you know, one of your best players not actually play but be on good terms with the actual team that he's not playing for while they try to work something out. So it'll be something interesting to keep in mind and to pay attention as we go into training camp this week, and preseason starts next Tuesday. Can you imagine that? In a little over a week, we will have Rockets basketball. To me, it seemed like the summer flew by the offseason, which is actually a really good thing, especially when you talk Rockets basketball like I do. So that's going to do it for today's episode. So if you already done so, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or if you listen to your podcast. And be sure to follow at Apollo HOU for blogs, merch, video, podcasts, and more original Houston sports content not found anywhere else. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back for our next episode of the Launchpad Podcast covering your Houston Rockets.